and welcome to the YYC Soccer Podcast. My name is Jason Komet, and my co-host is Scott Strasser. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Jason. Good to be back for another episode of the YYC Soccer Podcast. It's past 9:30 p.m. as we're recording this, and still light outside, so we can't complain about that, can we?
Yeah, I really do enjoy these long days. I always try and keep that in mind in the wintertime when we have those real short days that, yes, it all evens out. But yeah, I'm enjoying them right now for sure.
Yeah, and I always try and remember these days when the debate about daylight savings time comes up.
Oh, that's a whole other podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're a new listener, what is the YYC Soccer Podcast about, Scott?
Well, it's definitely not about daylight savings time, but we focus on soccer in Calgary at the amateur, collegiate, and professional levels. We talk about the teams and the players from the city's soccer community, from the grassroots and amateur leagues to the university and professional level.
And this episode, we're going to take a look back at last weekend's action, and we're also going to look ahead to what's coming up this week. I would think the highlight of last weekend was Foothills WFC defeating their rivals, Santa Clarita Blue Heat. That was a match here that was held in Calgary at Broadview. And I'd say the low light was probably the Cavs loss in Halifax. And we'll talk a little bit of Canadian men's national team, and maybe we'll even touch a little bit on AMSL and maybe even League One Alberta. And we'll also talk about the upcoming Cavs match this weekend. Again, it's on Saturday afternoon, and it's against York United.
Yeah, that's a game that I believe both you and I are planning to attend. And I believe this would be your first time using media credentials if you get approved.
Yeah, I believe that is the case. I sent off my thing. I got the invite and I sent it off. So I'm guessing I'm going to be all official for this game. So yeah, first time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. Definitely a different experience watching Cavalry matches from the media section opposed to the stands. So I think you're going to enjoy it.
So let's start with a positive, and we'll talk a little Foothills WFC. They played Santa Clarita at Broadview on the weekend and came away with a 1-0 victory. Scott, you were at the match. What were your thoughts about that game?
I thought it was a much cagier match than I was honestly hoping for, but I suppose that's something that you could expect in a battle between two very strong, very evenly matched teams that clearly know how to defend. I felt Foothills were a bit on the back foot for much of the first half. And honestly, they earned a pretty soft penalty right on the cusp of halftime, which is probably one of the best ideal times to earn a penalty. And Momo Nakao won that penalty, and she took it and scored it. So Foothills went into the break up 1-0. It was pretty balanced second half. Nakao was definitely Foothills' best player, in my opinion, and she continued to look quite lively throughout the second half. Overall, at that point, Foothills just needed to stay disciplined defensively, which they did to see out the win 1-0 over Santa Clarita to earn their fifth win of the season.
Yeah, it's definitely a big win. And as we know by our previous interviews with a couple of the players, Santa Clarita is the big rival. They're currently in California on a 2-game road trip. And we're recording this on Thursday evening. And right before we got on to record it, I checked and it sounds like Foothills lost tonight. They lost to LA 2-1. There isn't a lot of details at this point. I couldn't really find any specific information. I saw a tweet from Foothills at halftime saying it was 0-0. And then they sent out a tweet at the end of the match saying it was 2-1. Not exactly sure what exactly happened in that match, but on Saturday night, they're going to go face Santa Clarita again. So another tough one in a couple days, but that win streak is in the regular season is finally over.
Which, if you date back to last year when they went 10-0, that was a 15-game win streak that just ended. So that's quite the upset for LASC, who, of course, came up to Calgary. I think it was about a month or so ago, and lost to Foothills in Foothills' first game of the season. Well done to LA. Yeah, I also don't really know much about that game. Didn't watch it. Yeah, knowing that Foothills is going to play Santa Clarita again is quite interesting. I think that should make for a very intriguing battle considering Foothills will obviously want to respond positively to that loss to LA. Santa Clarita will obviously have home advantage, and the climate conditions with this game being in just north of Los Angeles will surely play into their favor. And I imagine that they were at the LA versus Foothills game to scout, so they'll probably have lots of info to draw upon when determining their tactics.
Yeah, and I think another thing that is also probably worth mentioning is Maya Jones still did not appear to be on the starting roster when I saw that posted on Twitter as well. So missing out on her, every club has to deal with injuries and stuff, but that's obviously not a positive. She was really had quite a fantastic start to the season, and now missing a couple few games, that's obviously not helping.
Yeah, and she had told us that she was nursing an injury when we interviewed her last week. But I think at the time it was still touch and go if she'd be able to play in that game against Santa Clarita. I didn't realize it would be an extra week of rest for her. Maybe the injury is a little worse than they wanted to disclose. But yeah, they're definitely, I guess you could say they're definitely missing Maya Jones. And it'll be interesting to see if they can kind of rebound from that loss to LA on the weekend.
All right, well, let's move on to the Canadian Premier League and Cavalry. The Cavs went to Halifax, and on Saturday afternoon, they played and lost 3-1. It was a lot more of the same from the Cavs, I think, than what we've seen earlier in the season. Inability to finish and some lackluster defending. I was looking at my Twitter feed here the day after the game, and it definitely seems like some of the fans are starting to get a bit restless. It's kind of been the same story for most of the matches this year. And I think, yeah, it is frustrating for everybody, I think.
Yeah, I know. I know it's frustrating for the fans. It overall, the CPL as a whole has been so unpredictable this year with some of the results we've seen and teams not playing as well as they usually do and other teams playing much better than they have in the past. Cavalry is definitely in the former camp where they're no longer as strong as they were as other teams have caught up to them. I turned this game off when it was 2-1. I learned later that Halifax had scored again. So yeah, it's yet another disappointing result for Cavalry against a team that even on the road, you'd expect them to have a good chance of beating. Halifax was coming off a win, but so was Cavalry. And it just seemed like a missed opportunity to gain a crucial extra 3 points. That being said, I mean, Halifax have been on a bit of a rebound themselves. So maybe they weren't as easy an opponent as I predicted they would have been.
But I know sometimes when it comes to scoring goals can always be a challenge. And sometimes, you know, you can have dry spells and that sort of thing. But poor defending seems to be something, in my mind at least, that should be more fixable. So I guess my question to you, Scott, is do you think, is it a talent gap or is it tactics or probably maybe a combination of both, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think Cavalry's back line has gone through some pretty big changes this season. If you consider the departures of Karifa Yao and Mason Trafford, who are both stalwarts in Cavalry's back line in 2021 and 2022. I definitely recall Karifa Yao in particular bailing the team out last season with the occasional goal line clearance or goal line tackle. The defenders who've been brought in to replace these two, I think of Udoka Chima and Callum Montgomery as the main kind of candidates as their replacements. Chima's quite young. He's still only 21 years old. And his background, his resume is mostly a non-league English teams. So I think it was probably a tough step up for him level-wise. Maybe he'd disagree with me. I don't know. I've actually not spoken to Udoka before, but I don't want to like put the blame on him, but I don't imagine he's played as well as he would have liked. In terms of Callum Montgomery, he's obviously been injured, so we can't really talk about his performance as much, but I imagine Tommy Wealdon Jr. would have anticipated fielding Callum Montgomery in a lot of games this season. So yeah, I mean, there's some development that needs to occur for Cavalry's back line. With Carducci, they obviously have one of the stronger goalkeepers in the league. And I've noticed when I've shot photos from the the side of the pitch that Cavalry is defending, that Carducci is barking out a lot of orders this year, which I think could be down to him being the team's captain for the first time, or it could be down to him noticing things that need to be fixed. So I don't know. That's kind of a long-winded answer to your question, but maybe it wasn't an answer. But no, just some of my observations and thoughts so far.
I think those are good points, because I think if you've noticed that Carducci is being more vocal, yeah, it's probably a mix of those things. And I think what you're saying about you know, Callum Montgomery, I think, was expected to eat up a lot of minutes and play a lot, and he hasn't, and that's injuries. Injuries happen to every team. And I think right now for Chima, it was probably never the plan that he was going to play this many minutes, but because of injuries, that's what happens. You know, we've got relatively small rosters, so sometimes, you know, if somebody goes down, the next person's got to step up. And I think he's a guy who has a lot of raw talent, and I think that maybe the original hope was to sort of bring him along a bit more slowly, but they haven't had that luxury this season so far. So when I watched a couple of those goals, the defending was not great.
Yeah, and I think if you watch some of the goals from other games, it's sometimes the same story. I guess, like we say this every episode, but we're going to have to wait and see how things roll out. No, I think you're right in that defending has been a bit of an issue for Cavalry all season long. You know, not poor defending for 90 minutes. It's just a case of poor defending on a few occasions that lead to a goal.
Oh yeah, totally. I don't think this weekend is going to be a free pass by any stretch. York's been playing really well. I think they've surprised both of us on their form, and they're coming into town, and yeah, it's going to be a good match. And like I said, they're not going to be pushovers. That's for sure.
No, I don't think they'll be pushovers at all. Although I would point out that York did only manage 1 point from their last two games, those being a draw against Halifax this week and a loss to Pacific, who are in first place quite recently. But before that, as you and I have mentioned in two episodes now, they were on a really hot streak. They found out a lot of things. I think they have a stronger roster than people would expect. But no, definitely, I don't even know who you could call an easy opponent these days, other than maybe Vancouver FC when you're playing them at home. But even Vancouver, you know, the other night shocked everybody, I think, with a pretty great performance and victory. So yeah, CPL, like I said already, has been wildly unpredictable. It's almost been a theme of 2023 so far.
Yeah, in a way, if you're looking at it from a big picture perspective, it has some appeal. You never really know, and you can get some surprising results. So all right, and the weather looks like it's going to be pretty decent, hopefully, and the match is at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Let's talk about the Canada-USA match. We didn't see Dominic Sator or Victor Letourie play, and that's kind of what we expected. We did see Scott Kennedy start. I don't think it would be considered one of his better games. Sam Adekube came on as a sub. He was in the same subgrouping as when Kennedy came off, but That game reminded me of watching some old men's national team matches from back in the day. It didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty brutal. Definitely for me brought back memories of the game against Croatia at the World Cup, as well as the first half against Morocco. This isn't a Canadian soccer podcast, so I don't think we should discuss the game itself too much. Yeah, I think everything went wrong in it. The tackle. The lineup, the players didn't seem fit. Alistair Johnston seemed uncharacteristically exhausted. Scott Kennedy definitely didn't look comfortable as the middle center back in a back three. Adekube, I recall he did all right coming on as a sub, but at that point it seemed like Canada's fate was pretty much sealed.
All of a sudden, without really any kind of break, we're back into the Gold Cup here. So on Tuesday, Canada's going to play Guadeloupe, and we have a bit of a tweaked roster overall from a big picture perspective, but from a Calgary perspective, we still have the same four players. They're going to be on this Gold Cup roster as well.
Yeah, and we've speculated if they're going to play every time that we've brought them up. And I feel like a tournament environment, when you're cycling players in and out of the lineup, that's probably the best chance that Zator and Letourie will have to see the pitch for the first time in a Canada jersey. But definitely expecting Adekube and Scott Kennedy to get some good minutes. Another thing I thought we could talk about is the fact that Joel Waterman isn't in the roster. There's a Calgary connection in the fact that he was a former Cavalry player. And I didn't confirm this, but I saw a tweet that he admitted in, it was either a media interview or like some kind of communication for Montreal, or maybe it was a tweet that he was angry to have not been selected or disappointed. He does seem like the type of player who you'd expect to be on this Gold Cup roster, especially given that the objective appears to be fielding a lot of these younger guys, and it's definitely not Canada's best possible roster with some big omissions. But yeah, Joel Waterman surprisingly left out of the roster.
I'm not familiar with those possible comments that he was not happy about it, but one thing I'll mention, and again, we don't want to go too far off on a tangent here, but there were a few Montreal players that missed the cut here. So I don't know how much you want to read into that, but you know, Jonathan Sirois would have been kind of an obvious choice. He's really been playing well for Montreal, and Chaunière has been playing well too. But yeah, it's, I would agree. I would have expected Waterman to be picked, but All right. Well, let's we have a couple minutes here. I think we'll just maybe briefly talk about the AMSL. We haven't really talked too much about it, and I don't think we're quite prepared to go into a big deep dive, but I thought that every team has played about a half a dozen games. So why didn't we just even do a little bit of a standings review and just see where we're at? We'll start with the men's. And one thing I believe is different this year is that they've divided the teams into North and South division. On the men's side, we'll talk about the South Division because that's where all the Calgary teams are. And the Cavalry U21 team, they've played six games and three wins, one loss, a couple ties for 11 points. Calgary's are right behind them. They've played one less game. They're five games. They're 3-1-1 for 10. Lethbridge is in third. They've played six games. They've got 9 points. Dinos, six games, 5 points. So they're quite a bit further behind. And Villains, they're bringing up the rear. They've played eight matches and they're 0-7-1 for 1 point and a minus 27 goal differential. So that's where we're at for Calgary perspective on the men's side.
Yeah, that's quite the goal difference for Calgary Villains. I'm not sure what's going on over there, but ouch.
And I guess the only thing I would really comment on that is the Cavs U21 team, I believe, did really quite well last year in AMSL. So I guess it's probably not super shocking that they're continuing that trend. So, all right, well, let's talk about the women's side. And in the South Division, Southwest United, they've played six matches, four wins, no losses, two ties on 14 points. Foothills, they're at 10 points on six games. And the Blizzard have played six matches. They're also on 10 points. So then bringing up the rear, way in the rear, is Lethbridge. They're 0-6-0 with a goal differential of minus 23. So doesn't seem to be a lot to choose from between those two clubs. I guess Southwest United is, you know, definitely in first, but they all seem to be pretty strong.
Yeah, it's still, I guess, early enough that there might still be some jostling for positions in the South Division between those Calgary teams, but it definitely seems like Lethbridge is well and truly out of the picture. I would have expected Foothills to be leading, honestly, but no, I guess Southwest has really been doing a good job and they've found more of a winning formula than them.
Well, this is just purely speculation on my part, but maybe it has something to do with the fact that now that the Blizzard and Foothills have teams in League One Alberta, anyone who's in the Southwest United camp, so to speak, they would all be together on this AMSL team. So maybe that's played to their advantage. But again, I'm the first to say I have no specific knowledge of that, but I just was sort of thinking that if they've concentrated all their best players on the one club, that might be providing them with a little bit of an advantage at this level.
Yeah, because you would imagine, like, there's carryover between the League One teams and the AMSL teams, right?
Both the Blizzard and Foothills both have teams in League One and in AMSL.
Separate teams in the AMSL. Okay, that definitely makes more sense then. Why Southwest would probably be the strongest overall club in AMSL this particular season. If they also created a League One team, then maybe we'd see that dominance change a little bit.
All right, well, I think that kind of covers quite a bit of what we want to chat about this week. Anything you want to get in before we wrap it up?
I know it's still a few weeks away, but something I do hope we can chat about in the near future is the upcoming Alberta Summer Games, which are going to be hosted not that far away from Calgary. They're going to be in Okotoks in, I think, the middle of July. So there's obviously a boys and girls soccer tournament at those games. And maybe we could do either a preview or a recap of how those games go, maybe even talk to some of the coaches. The way the Alberta Games works is pretty cool. They divide Alberta into 8 zones, and then there's tryouts for each zone. So Calgary is a zone, Edmonton is a zone, but then after that they get a lot more regional. So for instance, the South Central zone would encompass everything from Airdrie to Cochrane to Canmore to Olds to Drumheller to, you know, all these kind of towns that aren't in Calgary but aren't that far away. Usually the Calgary and Edmonton zone teams are still the strongest. They have the biggest player pool still. But occasionally you can see these upsets when these smaller town kind of select teams have a couple of really standout players. So no, I'm actually planning to go down to Okotoks for work-related reasons and cover some of the games, cover some of the Airdrie and area athletes. But yeah, I think we could definitely talk about the soccer that's going to go on down there.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan. We'll have to look at that for sure. Thanks for listening to the YYC Soccer Podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast using all the usual podcasting platforms. Head over to our website at yycsoccer.com for more info about how to subscribe or to leave a question or comment. You can also follow us on Twitter at yycsoccer403. Thanks for listening.